Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. We didn't go there this morning, but I want to read you the verse. It says, the beginning of the verse says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're familiar with the verse. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Henry Ford made the statement. He said, whether a man think he can or not, he's right. If you think about the statement, if you analyze the statement, whether a man think he can or not, he's right. You see, attitude is everything. One of the most frustrating and disappointing phrases for a teacher or mentor or coach or a leader is to hear from a pupil say, I can't. I hate hearing I can't. I'd never want to hear the words, I can't. Because oftentimes it's somebody giving up too soon before they ever even try. Oftentimes when a person says, I can't, they are already defeated mentally. You're right, you can't. Because you just made the statement, you can't. So therefore you won't overcome that hump of I can't. So don't start off with I can't. Maybe start off with, well, it'll be hard. Maybe start off with, I'm not sure, but I'll try. Would be much better than starting off with, I can't. Because you're showing defeat already. I can't is defeat from the beginning. Defeated before ever beginning. Defeated before a step is taken. Defeated before a punch is thrown. Defeated before the gun ever goes off for the race. Already done. I can't. You're defeated in your mind. I can't signals to those around you that you've defeated yourself already. There are tasks that are difficult. There are things in life that we will face, and I can understand the thought behind I can't. I get it. I understand that it just looks too hard. I understand that it just looks too difficult. I understand that there's got to be a miracle involved, and I understand that this is out of your league, so to speak. I felt that way when I met my wife. She was a little bit out of my league, but I was confident. I married up, like they say. She married down, but I married up. No, but I say that to say, sometimes you might face something and I can understand you saying I can't. But don't defeat yourself already. Don't put yourself in a predicament and weigh yourself down and get you all the way down and just say the wall is too tall and the length is too long and the weather is too hot and it's just too cold or it's just too wet or it's just too difficult. Yes, 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 but you can. You can is where it starts. Attitude is everything. More importantly, it defeats you before effort is ever made. I understand that there are times we must come to their senses on certain things. But we're discussing a will of a person this morning. The will of a person is that drive or motivation behind a person's accomplishments. It's we've heard of ill folks before, whether they be in the hospital or sometimes you might see like my wife and my kids love to watch those veterinarian shows on the Discovery Channel or the Geographic Channel, and they see all the animals that come in. And don't ever get my wife watching the vet shows unless she wants to hear her cry. She will cry every time, especially if they show a pot-bellied pig. I don't know why my wife has an attachment to pot-bellied pigs. Maybe it's because we have one. But she will cry if the pot-bellied pig doesn't make it. And my son will look over and say, are you crying? No. My eyes are just watered. But it's the pig, right? But there are some times where they'll say, well, they're a fighter. Or he's a fighter. Or she's a fighter. And what is a fighter and what is the mentality behind somebody who's dying? And what is the mentality behind somebody who's just doesn't seem in our eyes like they're going to make it? Well, they don't say I can't. They say I can. I can beat this. And a lot of times the ones that you find beating cancer are not the ones that started off saying I can't. There's no way. There's no way I could beat this. There's no way I could beat this. The ones you find beating cancer say I got this. I could do it. I'm going to make it. One way or another, I'm going to make it to glory or I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to get it done. And I admired Alex Trebek when he came out as the host of Jeopardy. And he said, I've got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. But don't cry for me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be all right. That's the first step. You'll never make it if you start off saying you can't. You'll never conquer it. It will conquer you. So at least have the faith that you'll make it, because whether or not you think you can, you're right. Amen. You're right. You can. You can. There's drive there. There's motivation there. I give you the illustration of Ryan Shazier. Does anybody know Ryan Shazier? Anybody ever heard the name Ryan Shazier? Ryan Shazier is a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. December 4th, 2017, Ryan Shazier was playing a game against the Cincinnati Bengals. So just not even 2 years ago. Ryan Shazier was going in for a tackle on a Bengal, and he had head down, and his neck snapped straight down as he went in to tackle this man. Ryan Shazier lay motionless on the ground for almost an hour. As all the paramedics and as all the team physicians from both teams and as players put a wall around Ryan Shazier because they had noticed something bad was going on. He couldn't move his fingers. He couldn't move his feet. He couldn't move his head. They feared the worst. They feared he was dead. He wasn't responding. He wasn't replying. This is a 6 foot one man, 220 pounds, muscles all over the place, motionless, helpless. Turns out Ryan Shazier was simply paralyzed. He was not dead. Thank goodness. He had had a head first, and he had a play was suspended for almost an hour as they tended to Ryan. The NFL attempted to hide Ryan's injury for several weeks. I mean, sure enough, the NFL wouldn't want this to get out that one of their players had gotten paralyzed, because if you remember a few years ago, there was a big thing about concussions and helmets and, you know, a lot of kids, little kids aren't playing football anymore because too many kids are getting hurt and so on and so forth. So the NFL, the last thing they wanted was one of their stars to come up paralyzed. So they hid it for several weeks the best they could until it finally came out that Ryan was indeed paralyzed. Ryan's football career was over just 2 years into his career. He hadn't even been playing two full years. He was a rookie in 2016, and this was the 2017 season. He hadn't even played a full 2 years. Ryan had a problem with this diagnosis of paralysis. He didn't want to accept this fate that he had been laid out by the doctors. He refused to accept it. Now, mind you, this is a man that could not feel his fingers nor his toes, could not move his legs, could not move his neck up. He was motionless, done. He didn't want to accept the fate. He refused to accept it. Months after his devastating injury and several surgeries, Ryan began a training regimen to attempt to walk again. Ryan faced obstacle after obstacle, doubt after doubt, naysayer after naysayer. 18 months later, Ryan took his first step. Amen. Took him a year and a half, but he took his first step. Amen. Then he walked out onto a playing field. Somebody pushed him out on a wheelchair in the middle of a playing field for the NFL, and of course, you know, doing a big hubbub about it and lets everybody see Ryan walking again. And that's great. It's a good story. Now, the NFL is probably using it for their promotion, right? Hey, here's this guy. He played. He survived. He made it. Well, Ryan was wheeled out into a wheelchair, and he stood up in center field and at the center of the field. And he stood up out of his chair, and he took a step, and he let everybody in America see that he was walking again. Now, this is a man that was motionless. This was a man that it was paralysis. This was a man that his football career is done, over with. Then he walked out on a playing field out of a wheelchair, and then later on that year, he walked over 100 feet across a podium to deliver his team's draft pick on national television. The latest report I saw was Ryan Shazier videoing himself running and jogging down a bike path. Pretty good story, ain't it? Amen. True story. If you go look it up right now, it's recent. It's a current tale right now, current event. He's still working on trying to become, he wants to play football again. I hope he does for his sake. But the point of the story is he was paralyzed for 18 months. He couldn't walk. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't use the bathroom on his own. But he refused to accept the fate that had been handed to him. He didn't get into the hospital and say, I'll never walk again. He got into the hospital and said, Doc, when can I start? What do you mean, when can you start? You're paralyzed, son. You'll never walk again. He said, no, no, no. You don't understand. I will walk again. He said, I will play football again. And boy, if he's not on his way from paralysis to not feeling his fingers and toes to now he's walking to now he's jogging and now he's videotaping himself jogging down a bike path and showing everybody in the world that attitude is everything. Somebody else may tell you you can't, and somebody else may come along and say you're not big enough, and you're not bad enough, and you're not strong enough, and you're not smart enough, and you don't have enough of wisdom, and you ain't been to college enough, and they may come along and say all these things to you, but it's you that defeats yourself by saying, I can't. You're probably right if you can't. You don't have to take your illness. You don't have to take your defeat. You don't have to accept the loss. You can win if you simply tell yourself that you can. That's the first step. Now, I don't want to sit here and sound like a prosperity preacher and tell you that everything's going to work out and everything's going to be a bed of roses. It might not all be a bed of roses, but I'll tell you it will never happen. And I guarantee you it will never happen if you say I can't.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. You've started in defeat already. Attitude is everything. You see, the doctors had decided the fate for Ryan. They were going off of good knowledge. They were going off of good history. Hey, they had been around for years and they've never seen too many people walk after being paralyzed. It doesn't happen too often. So it wasn't wrong for them to simply say, hey, I don't think you're ever going to walk again. But Ryan didn't want to accept that faith. Ryan regarded it differently. Ryan developed a purpose about his everyday. Man had said, that's it. He'll never walk again. Ryan said, no, I see it a little bit differently than that. Hey, are you the optimist or the pessimist in a situation? Hey, Christian, you walk along in a situation and say, yeah, that'll never work. Nope, not gonna happen. Nope, you're never gonna do it. No, y'all never get that building built. Never gonna happen. We'll never get this parking lot finished. I tell you what, we'll never be able to do it. We'll never be able to do it. We're not going to be able to do it. I can't do it. And sure enough, guess what happens? You don't do it. You don't do it. I'll not defeat this, and I can't win in this situation. I tell you, that enemy's too big, and that enemy's too strong. Remember David and the sling? Remember David and Goliath? The tale of David and Goliath, true story, not tale, wasn't fake. They said, too big, too strong. We can't do it. Little old shepherd boy says, hey, I got it. I take care of it. Look at him and laugh at him. Say, there's no way, son. You're too small. You're not strong enough. He say, well, God's with me. I can take care of it.
Amen.
Find me a few pebbles. Pick me up a sling. I got it. Done. Carry on. But you can't do it, son. You're too little. You're too puny. That guy's much bigger and badder than you are. So then he walks over to the man. He lifts him up by his head, slices his head off and say, got it. I was too small, remember? Wasn't strong enough, but in God, I could do anything.
Amen.
Next, now Philistines get to work. Y'all work for me now. It would have never happened. He says, I can't. Would have never happened. I'm sure he had his bad days. I'm sure Ryan had his doubts. I'm sure Ryan had his concerns. I'm sure Ryan lay motionless in a hospital bed and said, it doesn't look good, huh? Not looking very good. But he never said, I can't. Never said, I can't. He regarded it differently because attitude is everything. Look at your Bible in Romans chapter 14 and look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That word esteemeth there means to evaluate, to decide. So to look at that word, it says one man evaluates and decides one day above another, but another man evaluates and decides every day alike. But then the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. One puts more emphasis on one day than another, and one approaches each day the same, and everyone's a bit differently. Hey, I'm not here to tell you how to run your days. I'm here to give you advice off of scripture. I'm here to show you how God's laid things out. I'm here to preach to you about certain things that may be in your life that you ought not have. I'm here to be that guideline. I'm here to be those bumpers on the bowling alley. I'm here to help with all that, but I can't hold your hand. I can't sit at you at the house and I can't give you your purpose for tomorrow. You've got to develop your purpose for tomorrow. And one man looks at it one way and another man looks at it a totally different way. And we each esteem it differently. But then look at verse 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he that giveth God, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Regardeth is to decide or commit. So esteem is to evaluate and decide. Regard is to decide and commit. So once you've established and once you've evaluated your purpose or your reasoning for the day, then the Bible says that you go ahead and you follow through with that. You get to it. You get on about it. Does that make sense? Are you following me so far? So one man evaluates his day and makes a decision. And then as you regard that day, the Bible says you've nailed down your decision. You with me? Follow me? I'm building up here. I need you to stay with me. So, purpose-driven day. No drive at all sometimes. Some people don't think much about it and don't figure out how their next day is going to go. They don't put too much thought into it. Some people are very purpose-driven and they've got it all categorized. And they've got a calendar and events and they know what's going to happen at this time and what time they're going to get up and what time they're going to get dressed and when breakfast and they're going to get out of the house and how long they're going to sit and what they're going to do while they're at work and what they got to accomplish before they go home and when is a good time to go home and, well, when the time is up, now it's time to be home. And then when I get home, what am I going to do there and what am I going to accomplish and what needs to be done outside and what needs to be done inside? And then your day is just planned out and prepared. Some people just flip a coin. Yep, sleep for another hour. Okay. And that's how they go on about their day. But there's a difference here, and we're going to get to it here. Look at the end of verse 6. It says here, he that eateth, eateth to the who? Eateth to the Lord, right? And then it says, for he giveth who thanks? Okay. And he that eateth not to the who? He eateth not and giveth who thanks? So it looks like at the end of verse 6, the Lord-driven life is a grateful life. Is it not? If the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of your life, well, then that becomes a purpose-driven life for Jesus Christ. And then whether you eat a meal and enjoy it, you give God thanks. And whether you don't eat a meal and you don't get to sit and enjoy it, you still give God thanks. And see, there's a difference here between the person who lives their life with Jesus Christ and there's a person that lives their life without Jesus Christ, and those two worlds look very differently. They just look very differently. Look at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Why is a Christian so grateful? Because his life is about Christ and not himself. What does it say in verse 7? For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Verse 8 confirms verse 7. Look at verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the who? We're the Lord's. Hey, what is your life focused on this morning? Is your life focused on Jesus Christ? I can't. Well, you're right. I can't live that way. I can't live with that kind of a purpose. I can't serve God in that manner. Well, then you're right. You can't. But the difference, attitude is everything that says, I can serve Christ. Hey, I can live righteous. I can live holy. I can live separated. I can live for somebody else besides myself. But what doesn't happen is when somebody comes and says, I can't give my money to the church. I can't tithe. I don't have enough money to tithe. You know what? You're right. You can't. I can't teach a Sunday school class. You're right. You can't. I can't do this for the church. You're right. You can't, because you can't. Because you've already defeated yourself and you can't. Attitude is everything, not only in my day-to-day, but in the life I choose to live for Christ. Some of you this morning are not living for Christ because you can't live for Christ. Because you've already decided that you can't. Well, I've got this ache and pain, and I've got that ache and pain, and I've got this problem, and I've got that problem. Well, this gets in the way all the time, and this always... Then you're right, you can't. I can't help you if you're not willing to help yourself, at least in thought. It starts here. And then that moves the feet. Remember, as we've learned in Sunday school class, as we've learned throughout the last year, whether or not you think you can, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you decide already that you can't do something, then you are already right and you are defeated. But if you decide in your heart that you can do something, if you staple a verse such as Philippians 4:9, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, then guess what? You can do all things. But attitude is everything. That's where it begins. Verse 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Christ died so that you and I would have a reason to regard the day. Christ died so that you and I would have a reason to regard the day. You see, I'd always sat and wondered, as I was a young man, I sat and wondered what this thing about life was all about. I mean, to me, it didn't sound very entertaining. To me, as a young man, I was preparing for high school and preparing for going to college one day, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, I got to go to college, and I got to get a good job so that I can pay a bunch of bills, so that I can send my kids to college so that they can pay a bunch of bills, and I can hang out on vacation maybe and die, and the cycle just repeats itself. And I sat and I thought, man, that's it? What happens if I run out of money? Not very fun, is it? Hey, what happens if I don't have very good food to eat? What happens if I ain't got no wine to drink or beer to drink and make me feel better? Well, then I guess I ain't got no reason for living, do I? And that's why we get caught up in the prescription medications, and we get caught up in the television, and we get caught up in the drugs and the booze. Why? Because you have no purpose. You have no reason for today. It's all about how you feel now. It's not about what you're accomplishing. So the purpose-driven life comes and says, well, I have something to accomplish now, and his name is Jesus Christ. I have somebody else to share a testimony with about Jesus Christ. I have someone else to show hope to because of the hope that I found in Jesus Christ. And there's a different reason for living today than there was yesterday. But Christ makes the difference. See, if you don't have Christ in your life, then you don't have a difference to be made. You're just going to work. You're going to try to pay your bills. You're going to try to go to school. You're going to try to send your kids to school, and they're going to work, and they're going to pay bills, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to buy groceries, and they're going to eat them, and they're going to go to sleep, and they're going to wake up to go to work the next day. And then by the time the hope runs out, by the time joy runs out, by the time money runs out and beer runs out and alcohol runs out, well, there's no reason to live anymore. Number one cause of death among the ages of 25 to 35 is suicide. Why? No reason to live. No purpose. No Jesus Christ in the heart. No help, no guidance, no guideline, no hope, no instruction. Well, my beer ran out, my drugs didn't work anymore. I had to take too many, and because I tried to take too many, I overdosed, and I'm done now. Life is over. Why? They didn't have a purpose. They didn't have no reason for it. So attitude is everything. But your attitude is based off of I can or I can't. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hey, that's a Bible principle. There's no psychologist that had to give us that. There was no Dr. So-and-so or Dr. Who or Dr. Seuss that gave us the instruction of, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's Bible. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You defeat yourself already. Christ desires you to have life more abundantly, and he lays out the ways for you to do that. However, our attitude will determine whether or not we arrive at that more abundant life. Our attitude will dictate whether we arrive to it or not. I can, you got to hope. I can't, you're done. You're done. Don't say I can't. Say it's hard. Say it's going to be difficult. Say I'm not sure. Let that be your worst case scenario is I'm not sure. But don't start out saying, I can't, because then you'll be right. And it's over before you start. Hey, if that enemy looks too big, have faith. Hey, if that wall looks too tall, have faith. Hey, if that road looks too long, have faith. If the weather doesn't look very good above, just get through it. You'll be all right. You'll make it. Hey, the storms of life, I've been through some rough storms. Hey, I've been through some rough weather. I remember a day I was sleeping at the house. We were out in Indiana. And the clouds turned black. And I'm not talking about gray. Black clouds. There was a tornado warning. I was sleeping. It was afternoon. I worked late at night. I'm knocked out after school. This is the evening hour time where I'm asleep. And my wife sends Madison to wake me up. Madison comes to wake me up. She said, Daddy, gotta get up. There's a storm coming. I said, oh, leave me alone. Sleeping. So I went back to sleep. Well, it got serious. So Madison comes back in. I can't remember exactly how. Was it Madison that came back or you that came back? She came in and said, hun, get up now. There's a tornado coming. I walked outside. Everybody to the basement. Quick, fast, hurry. Everybody to the basement. We had a little underground. And out in the Midwest, they got that stuff. Yeah, you got it too much in Maryland, but they got that underground protection kind of thing. Well, this was in the house, but it was under the staircase in the house. It was ingrained into the basement. So you didn't have to go outside, but there was a little area under the porch area that was enclosed in concrete that you could be underground. I said, everybody in there, get that stuff out of there. You move right in there because there was a storm coming. Guess what? I survived. Hey, it was rough. It was dark. It was ugly. Didn't look good, but we made it. Hey, I've been in the hailstorms before. We've heard the tornado warnings going by, and we've seen the rough rains ahead and the hailstorms, and we've seen the icy roads and the snow and all the other blizzards, but we've survived. So far, so good, right? What's that to say? It's not a death sentence. Just because the weather looks rough doesn't mean it's a death sentence. And just because the doctor says something that doesn't sound good doesn't mean it's a death sentence. And just because Ryan Shazier is laying there paralyzed and can't walk doesn't mean it's a death sentence. It's the attitude that is everything from that point forward. I can. I will. God will help me. I will make it.
Amen.
So let me give you four quick ways to ensure the right outlook on your life. Four quick ways to ensure the right outlook on your life. Number one, understand the finish line. How could one ever run a race if they don't know where the finish line is? You got to know where the finish line is. So let's look at the finish line. Without knowing where the finish line is, what fun would that be? Why would anybody run a race if they didn't know where the finish line was? Well, look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. This is Jesus. Paul is saying as Jesus here, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. What's the finish line, Jesus? How do I know if I won or not? Jesus will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't have to be first. You just have to be well done. You ain't got to be the first one there. You just got to be well done. So what's the finish line for a Christian? Understand the finish line for your outlook on tomorrow. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account to himself to who? Read that again to yourself. Look at it. So every one of us. Are you every one of us? Shall give account of him. Of who? Himself. Am I giving account of my brother? Are you giving an account of your sister? Himself to who? So understand the finish line. You personally will stand in front of God and give account of yourself.
Amen.
That's Bible, not me. That's not preacher. That's Paul. That's in the Bible. You will stand before God and give an account of yourself. So understand your finish line. You do have a maker in which you're going to meet and give an account of this life in which you've lived. Number two, understand the role. Look at verse 13. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself. Verse 12, now 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't evaluate and judge someone else's role. Handle your role. Handle your role. Hey, how do I have the proper outlook of my life? Understand my finish line. His name is Jesus. I'll talk to him one day. I'll give an account of everything that I've done. Secondly, understand my role. I'm not going to give the account of my brother. I'm going to give the account of myself. Understand my role, that it's my life to live, not someone else's life to live for me or through me. This is my life to live. And I've got to give an account of my stewardship of what God has provided me. So I understand the finish line and where I'll end up, Jesus. And I understand the role in which I'm supposed to serve, which is to judge myself and do accordingly to myself. Thirdly is this. Understand the reason. Look at verse 14. Paul says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Remember what that word esteemeth means? To evaluate and to decide. He that decides it is unclean, guess what? You're right. He that decides it's not, not necessarily doesn't mean that you're right. God's more right than you are. But the way you've thought about it and prepared it in your mind and in your heart is what you're going to act upon. So if you decide that the Lord is right, he is right. If you decide that he is wrong, he's still right, but you're not going to live that way. Does that make sense? You follow me? What you think about God will reign true for your actions, not true for his holiness. There's a difference. You follow me? You follow me? I hope you're following me. Last but not least, well, here right here, understand the reason, Lord Jesus. Why do I go to work tomorrow, Jesus? Why do I wake up tomorrow, Jesus? Why do I get dressed tomorrow, Jesus? Why do I go to school tomorrow, Jesus? Why do I pay my bills tomorrow, Jesus? Why do I love my spouse, Jesus? Why do I serve my church, Jesus? Why do I not defile myself, Jesus? Why do I not be spiteful towards another, Jesus? Why do I not be hateful to another, Jesus? Jesus is the answer. Why do I live my life tomorrow? Why do I live my life today, Jesus? Why do I live my life in an unselfish way, Jesus? Why do I live my life with others focused, with others in focus rather than myself, Jesus? Jesus. Not judging another, but living for another. There's a difference. Attitude is everything. And let's finish on this, number four. Look at verse 15. So I said, understand the finish line. I said, understand the role. I said, understand the reason. And now look at verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Last but not least, understand the need for righteousness. Your life is to be lived in righteousness.
Amen.
You have a finish line you're going to meet. You have a role to play. Take care of yourself. Do right. Continue to do right. There's a reason in which you're doing it. His name is Jesus. And there is righteousness to be had. Look at verse 16 and 17 again. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, living that life is a blessing. Not living that life is something different. Look at verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of what? For whatsoever is not of faith is what? So, verse 23 wraps the whole thing up into this. Attitude is everything. You have faith, you'll be fine. You lack faith, Bible says you're damned already. You're damned already. The Bible tells you that. I don't tell you that. God says that. Have faith. You're going to make it. Attitude is everything. Whatever you have to accomplish in your life, whatever you have to face in your life, take one step forward and face it. Next, you hit a roadblock, dip around it, face it. You have to make a sharp turn, make that sharp turn, and face it. Do what you got to do to face it, but don't say, I can't, because you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You can. Attitude is everything. Can you serve God this morning? Yes, you can. Can you be in church every Sunday? Yes, you can. Can you tithe to your local church? Yes, you can. Can you teach a Sunday school class? Yes, you can. Can you be a Bible teacher? Yes, you could. Could you be a bus driver? Yes, you can. Could you be a bus captain? Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Don't tell yourself you can't, because then you're right. You can. Shall we all stand? Attitude is everything.